の尾踏み目の尾踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾踏み出す目の尾踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite to catch up on the team who had a player once hit a walk-off home run on Mother's Day in front of his mother, except oops, she'd already left the stadium. That's right, Osamu Hamanaka in 2001 on Mother's Day invited his mom to the stadium, and in the ninth inning, he hit his first career home run. It was a walk-off home run, but she had already left. Look at me, mom! Look at me! Mom! Mom! Come here! Give me some attention! But she was already gone. Happy belated Mother's Day to all you mothers. I hope you're watching your sons, and I hope you're enjoying what they are able to do, whether on the field or off the field. Hey, I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is May the 15th, and this is episode 61. Welcome to the show. Before we go any further, of course, as we have been doing all along, let's talk about our number 61s in history. And we'll start with our manager, Sadayoshi Fujimoto, who got the team the very first two pennants in team history. Mr. Sadayoshi Fujimoto, he got those pennants in 1962 and 1964. He wore number 61, and currently, we've got Atsushi Mochizuki, who was our fourth round pick in 2015, came straight out of high school, and in 2016, he pitched one inning, allowed one hit, struck out one, and had no earned runs. That was in the last game of the 2016 season. This year, he has not seen any action anywhere, whether on the farm or on the top squad. So, we are running out of players, everybody. Once the numbers get higher on the backs of the uniforms, the ability of the players, the level of the players is much lower. And so it's harder for me to do this show opening. And so what I'm going to do is, from next week, we're going to switch. We're going to have the year in club history. So for episode 62, it'll be 1962 and so on. By the way, I hope you've been enjoying this background music that we've got. We've got a new song, and it is called Hajime no Ippo. And it's written by a guy named Shin, aka Mamiya. And this song features Tim. Tim happens to be a close personal friend of mine, and so I asked him if we could use this cool new beat on the show. By the way, we previously used one of Tim's beats on the show as the opener, and so I thought I would ask. And he said, well, ask Mamiya. So I asked Mamiya, and he said, sure. He gave me the permission. He gave me the song. So here we go. Hope you enjoy it. The link to the song will be in the show notes, so please be sure to go check that out. It'd be great. Give it a listen. Give it a thumbs up on YouTube. Show Shin, Mamiya, Tim some love, because this is good stuff, folks. It's always good to be with you to talk about Hanshin Tigers. On today's show, we're going to go over the news. Then we're going to recap the week's action. And then what we're going to get into, instead of doing the usual hot topic, I am going to translate an article for you from the monthly Hanshin Tigers that I thought was of particular interest. So check it out. We are going to be back right after this.
Sad and when you're down, your wick is burning, but about to burn out in that moment of life or death. Sour could be gone in just one breath. Safe on the death, his joy consumes. Give it unto God, he'll follow through. I trust in you, I follow you.
We are back. How'd you like that? I hope you enjoyed it. We're here with the news, and there's all sorts of news. And so here we go. The first one that I'm going to touch on goes back to May the 3rd, when there was an interview of Mr. Masayuki Kakefu, who is the farm manager. And they asked him about certain players on the team. How are they doing? Can we expect to see them up on the top squad? And so on and so forth. So the first guy that he talked about was our first round draft pick of last year, Yusuke Oyama. And he says, you know, he learns really fast. He is just such a pure-hearted young man. He said he needs to get a little bit nastier, a little bit naughtier. But he also said that, you know, Kanemoto and him sat down and they agreed to give him about 3 months of time on the farm just to build up his body strength, to turn him more into a man. And so, you know, that would put us probably around July, maybe post-All-Star break before we can expect to see Oyama and get to see what he's all about. Speaking of Oyama, we'll jump right into the next bit of news because it does relate to him. And that is that on Saturday, he hit his first, pardon me, on Sunday, his first career home run on the farm. I think a few episodes back, I talked about him hitting a home run and it got called back because of a rainout. The game was called on account of rain after the fourth inning, so it was not an official game, so his home run didn't count. Well, this one did. He also hit a couple of doubles in this one, had four RBIs, and the Hanshin Farm Boys romped the SoftBank Hawks. Again, this was on Sunday. And just to go over a bit more of what went down in that game, we got four home runs. So Oyama and then also Ryota Arai and Keisuke Kano. And those ones can be expected because they hit home runs wherever they go, as long as they're facing lousy pitching. But Shunsuke with a home run, of all things, people. This is the news. This is big news. Shunsuke hit one over the wall. So there you have it. It must have been a pretty bad pitcher. No, it was none other than Kenji Otonari, who really took us down hard in the 2004 Nippon Series in one game. He completely dominated us, so it looks like something's happened to his game if we're going to beat him up that badly. And speaking of that game, Taiki Ono started the game and went four innings, and I think he did pretty good. I think he might have allowed two runs or something like that. And then the next four innings were taken over by the Blue Goat, Koyo Aoyagi. He went four innings of shutout work, and so I wonder if he might be ready to come back up to the top squad. Getting back to the Kakefu interview, he was also asked about this Taiki Ono fella, and this is what he had to say. He said, you know, he's got a great fastball, but he's got to learn the game from start to finish a little bit better, so this is like a period of studying for him so that he can understand how a baseball game flows properly. What is required of him in different stages of the game? What can be expected of the opponents? What can be expected of his own fielders and so on and so forth? And so he says he's good. He's got a great fastball and he should be able to make an appearance on the top squad at some point this season. The third guy that he was asked about was our fifth import, our third Dominican reliever, and that would be Roman Mendez. And this is what he said. He said that Mendez is great. Mendez is a real thinker on the mound. He said he's almost like a philosopher up there. And he said that he should actually be a starter, not a reliever, is kind of what he said. Maybe half jokingly or maybe just, you know, wishful thinking, because I think Mendez has kind of been groomed to be a reliever. Anyhow, there you go. He says that he is ready for top squad action anytime. And so, you know, God forbid, if something were to happen to Mateo or Dolis, it looks like we have somebody that can back him up pretty good. And speaking of imports and import rules, and this import rules, Randy Messenger, it was made official, I think, on May the 9th that he was named the Central League's Pitcher of the Month for the months of March and April. Of course, March was just one day, but Randy Messenger went 4-0 with a 1.95 ERA and 37 strikeouts. It was his second time winning the award. The first time was in September of 2013. So congratulations to Randy Messenger, and of course he was on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast, which just came out today. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm looking forward to listening to that interview. Other news, we've got Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who's finally doing full workouts, and so he is slowly making progress. And again, like I think I said last week or the week before, where is he going to play when he comes back? I'm really curious, but it would be great to have him back, of course, you know, definitely. And speaking of rehabs, Seishiro Sakamoto has been out since before the regular season started with a broken bone in his hand. He actually played in a couple of games this past week, so hopefully he will be able to return soon, but there is no word on when that might be. Some other news. I missed this one when I talked about award winners, but actually we got the Pitcher of the Month on the Farm League as well, because Shingo Fukunaga, who had a terrible outing last Saturday against the Carp, he was the Farm Pitcher of the Month for his, I think it was a 3-2 record with a 2.32 ERA. So pretty solid stuff from him. So congratulations to Fukunaga, and hopefully he can bounce back and do some great stuff for the top squad eventually. Other news, it was reported that Hanshin scouts have been down in Taiwan watching the Lamigo Monkeys, and they are scouting a guy, pardon me if I butcher his name is Wang Po Jung, and he is, I think, 23 or 24 years old, and he hit a huge home run off of Norimoto during a WBC exhibition game, but apparently there are several NPB squads that are scouting him, and there is even talk of him maybe eventually being major league material. But of course, they say that, you know, because the level of play in Taiwan is not nearly as high as the majors, maybe a good stepping stone to be NPB. Maybe it would be nice if he ends up with our Hanshin Tigers. The final bit of news that I want to talk about, and that is something that it could be a hot topic, but I just don't have the breath for it, or I don't have the background information. But that is, you know, who is going to be our sixth starter the rest of the way, or at least for the time being. Now, this past week, we only had five games on schedule. We only ended up playing four, so we didn't nearly need our whole rotation. But from now until the end of interleague play, we've got six game weeks, I should say. And then even after that 1 week break, we've got more 6 game weeks, much of the rest of the season. And so, of course, our top four are as clear as anybody can imagine. Those would be Randy Messenger, Shintaro Fujinami, Yuta Iwasada, and Atsushi Nomi. And then our number five seems to be Takumi Akiyama, who has really, you know, come into his own this season. And so who's the sixth starter? We started with Koyo Aoyagi, so he's a possibility. And as I said, he had a pretty good outing on Sunday on the farm. But we also have Minoru Iwata. Yeah, I know. He, you know, hasn't made a lot of waves recently, so I don't know if he's still in contention or in the picture. In fact, his last farm outing, he went 5 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 runs, so not great on him. I think he allowed a couple of home runs, and when you're allowing homers on the farm, that means you're probably not doing a very good job of anything. Another guy that is in contention would be Yuya Yokoyama, who came up and did a spot start. I think it was in place of Fujinami when Fujinami went down with the flu. So he actually injured himself. He was supposed to start that game that Fukunaga ended up in on May the 6th. But he is back doing bullpen sessions, and so he is a possibility moving forward. And then another guy that's come up in the rumors, and oh, I hope it's not true, is Hiroya Shimamoto. You guys might like him, or there might be somebody out there that likes him, but I just think he's just a little pipsqueak of a left-hander that, you know, looks good on the farm, but he has never really impressed me on the top squad. There might have been a couple games where I thought, he looks all right. And then, you know, reality sets in, and he is not the guy that we're looking for. Trust me, we don't want him starting regularly up here. We don't want to be experiencing those guaranteed losses once a week. Thank you very much. Let's move into recaps. So as I said just earlier, we had 5 games on tap. We only ended up playing 4. The reason for that was a rainout, and we'll get to that in just a second. But first, we are going to look at the games that we played at Tokyo Dome against our fiercest rivals, those being, of course, the pesky Yomiuri Giants. Not so pesky necessarily this year, right? Anyhow. We, on Tuesday, brought Takumi Akiyama to the mound, and they brought their super ace, Tomoyuki Sugano. And Sugano had gone 3 straight games pitching complete game shutouts. He was looking to set some sort of record, and he was looking great. He was being hyped like crazy. He was 4-0 on the season, and then Hanshin happened to him. Haha. So in the first inning, we put rest to his shutout streak real fast, because Takayama double followed by a Hojo bunt led to an Itoi RBI single. Couple batters later, we got a Toritani RBI single. It's 2-0 after the top of the first. In your face, Sugano. In your face. Well, the Giants came back and got one back when Casey McGee got enough of Akiyama's offering in the bottom of the second inning to hit one off of the left field pole. It was a solo shot, so 2-1 for us. And the very next inning, we came back with a couple more, and these ones came courtesy of the bat of Kosuke Fukudome, who hit the very first home run of the year off of Tomoyuki Sugano. That's right, that's the first one he gave up, and it was to us. And that was a 2-run job because of an infield single by Hojo. And so 4-1 at this point. They get one more. Again, it was courtesy of the long ball. This one came in the 7th inning. This one was also off of Akiyama, and it was also to left field right in the very corner. So a shallow home run, but they all count the same. And this was off the bat of Shingo Ishikawa with no outs. It was a leadoff home run, but that's all they got. And so Akiyama went 7 innings strong, 6 hits, the 2 home runs included in that, 4 strikeouts and just 1 walk, and that was an intentional walk. So we'll talk about that. Actually, it was quite interesting because This is one of the few times that Hanshin has employed the intentional walk, and they did it in order to load the bases. They walked this same Ishikawa, who hit the home run in the seventh. They walked him earlier in the game. I think it was the fourth inning, to force a bases loaded situation with two outs for their catcher, Kobayashi, who is not having a great year. And it worked out well because he grounded out to shortstop. So that was a great decision by the bench. Let's see. The other thing of note, couple things of note. One of them was that in the sixth inning, Shinosuke Abe hit a double. It should not have been a double. He took off. It was a hit to center, and Itoi threw it in on the money, and Itohara, the second baseman, caught it, turned around to tag Abe, and somehow his glove evaded the fat legs of the fatster. And so he ended up with a double, which should have easily been an out. Anyways, these things happen. And then in the ninth inning with Nakatani up at the dish and one out, he hit one really far, but it was just a little bit foul. So he could have had a home run there. He didn't. He ended up popping up to second, but it was just nice to see his power bat come out for that one. So that was that. That was the first game. We took it. Again, we handed Sugano his first loss of the year. So good for us. We are all excited going into game two, and we are putting Yuta Iwasada on the mound up against Kan Otake. Where to start? Iwasada, man, he has been having a rough inning one of every season, and this one was no exception. He allowed a home run to Shinosuke Tabi Abe, so 2-0 for them after the first inning. But the Tenacious Tigers come back in the top of the second. Toritani, with runners on second and third on a full count, hits a sacrifice fly, so we get our first run back that way. And then Itohara, who seems to be a pretty scrappy kid, he doesn't seem to be fazed by the pressure. He ended up with a runner on third and one out, so this is right after Toritani. He hit a single to left field, so the score was 2-2, so it's looking pretty good, except that Iwasada decided to have a first inning. Again, in the third inning, he allowed a home run to Sakamoto, and then a home run to McGee, and then one inning later, a home run to Chono. So the first of those was a three-run home run. The other two were solo jobs. And then an inning later, he is already out of the game. This is the bottom of the fifth. We brought in Ryoma Matsuda, and he gives up another home run. This one was also to Sakamoto, so his second of the game. It was also a solo job, so it's 8-2. And then a little bit later, Kobayashi, he of the feeble bat, hits an RBI double to make it 9-2. And this is looking like a runaway, a disaster. And, you know, I said to somebody jokingly, hey, remember, we came back from 9-0. This is nothing. Ha ha. And then in the top of the sixth, all of a sudden it looked like our boys were going to do it, because Itohara, with the bases loaded, he took a walk to bring in our third run of the game. And then Takayama, with a couple of outs and the bases loaded, he hit one into right field for another run. So now it's 9-4. And then Hojo comes in and hits a double to get a couple more guys off of the bases. So now it's 9-6, and it's still the sixth inning, and we had a chance, but Umeno was not able to continue the rally, and we ended up scoreless until the ninth inning, with two outs, I think it was, and a 1-2 count. Nakatani got his revenge for the day before when he almost hit a home run in the ninth. This time he did. Unfortunately, the bases were empty, so it's 9-7, and sadly, that's how this one ends. We did end up getting the tying runner to the plate because the guy after Nakatani got on base, but we were unable to complete the comeback. So we lose 9-7. It was still an exciting game, and, well, exciting for everyone except Iwasada, poor guy, four home runs against. He looked like he did last year in June and July when he was just getting torn up by everybody. Other things of note. First of all, we talk about Nakatani's home run and how it was a solo job and it ended up being 9-7. Well, just before that, Fukudome hit into another double play. So Itoi, I think, was on first base at the time. And if he had not hit into that double play, like let's say, for example, he'd gotten on base, then Nakatani's home run, if he had still hit it, would have been a game-tying home run. But again, you know, we're just playing the what-ifs here, and that's not really fair to anybody. And Fukudome is still doing a great job, so I'm not going to dog him too much. We did get an error in this one because it's not a Hanshin game without an error. So Hojo in the bottom of the first with an error. And then One more interesting thing to note, and that is that Fumihito Haraguchi actually played some catcher in this one. It was only one inning. He came in after he pinch hit in the top of the eighth. He was behind the plate, behind the mask for the bottom of the eighth. He said it just felt like old times. He hadn't done a lot of practice at catcher, but he went in. So that's great. I mean, it's just good to know that we have that option. And it's also good to know that Kanemoto is not going to be afraid to use it if the chance provides itself, if the need arises. So that is that. We go 1-1 against these Yomiuri Giants. And now on the season, I believe that puts us at 4 wins and 3 losses against them. Which I'll take. You know, it's better than we did last year. And so good for us for being able to win the majority of the games. And again, you know, be able to take 1 out of 2 from them in their park. So good stuff. Let's move forward. We got the day off on Thursday. And somebody asked me why that was. And the reason is because we play every CL team 25 times. So that means 13 home and 12 road, or vice versa. Well, we've got 13 road games against the Giants. And so what that means is that it'll be 3 sets of 3 games and then two game series. So this is one of those 2-game series. It just happens to be in May. I think the other one is right at the very end of the season. But that'll happen a couple times during the year when we're hosting 2-game sets in order to complete the 13 home games and so on. So it is what it is. We go with it. So we get the day off, and then on Friday, we bring Big Randy Messenger to the mound, he of the Player of the Month. And they are bringing Shoichi Ino, who we tore apart at Koshien last time that these teams faced off. And so, unlike last time, we did not start with a bang. It actually took until the top of the fourth inning. And Toritani, with the bases loaded, hit a double. Pardon me, not the bases loaded, it was a full count. He hit a double to center, and that scored us our first run, 1-0. But then in the bottom of the inning, Miyazaki, for them, also hit a double, and that was also an RBI double, so it's 1-1 now. And it stayed that way until the sixth inning, when Nakatani hit the go-ahead home run. And then in the top of the eighth, Fukudome hit an insurance home run, and also a couple batters later, Toritani hit an insurance home run. So 3 home runs, all solos for us. It gives us a 4-1 lead, and that's how this one ends. So we take game one of the series 4-1. Messenger did get hit pretty hard in this one. He didn't allow any home runs, which is, you know, continuing par for the course for him. He's not really, you know, people are not getting a lot of great contact off of him, although I would argue that in this one, probably he got hit worse than he has almost all season. Just a lot of hard hit singles, I think 3 doubles against. But, you know, he was good. He scattered it really nicely so that, you know, only one of the runs ended up coming home. He struck out 9, which is great, of course. One thing to note, Nakatani on that first run scored. By the way, he was the hero of the game. He legged out an infield single to get on base for Toritani's double, and then he ran all the way around from first base to score on that double, which is pretty good considering he's a former catcher. He's not known for his speed, but then also it wasn't like a super deep double, if I'm not mistaken. So good job by Nakatani on that one. Just before Nakatani's home run, again, it just seems like he's destined to hit solo home runs, because just before he comes up to the plate, there always seems to be someone on base. This time it was Itoi, but he got caught stealing. So his Nakatani's home run ended up being a solo home run. Finally, in the bottom of the ninth inning, they had a chance to start a rally, and a guy by the name of Aranami hit a double to roughly center field. I think it was left center. And Itoi tracked down the ball, threw it into Yamato, who was subbing at second base. Yamato got the relay throw and threw a perfect strike to third base, and Aranami was out by a mile. And, you know, much like Kosuke Tanaka last week Saturday with his idiot running again against Dolis, again, you know, out on a play where, you know, running was really not the best idea in the first place. So Aranami had no business running here. I mean, he could have stood at second. He could have stopped at first base. When you're down 3 runs, it doesn't matter whether you're at second base or third base. You've got to get several hits in order to come back and win. So why risk the extra base? I can understand if you're down 1, but when you're down 3, you don't need to do that. So good for us. We win the game. Super, super duper. And then Saturday, we were supposed to have Fujinami on the mound, and they were supposed to have Imanaga, but that ended up being canceled because it rained all morning and probably through the afternoon to some extent in Yokohama. So the game was called at like 11 o'clock, 3 hours before it was supposed to start. sometimes that's the way it goes in Japan. That's the way they do things. And so there you have it. So we go into Sunday and we actually bring the same pitchers to the mound, or they and we, or they and they. It was Fujinami against Imanaga. And this one was a very typical start for Fujinami. He walked the first guy. And then it was a typical start for Hanshin. We got an error on the next play. This one was actually by Yamato, and so it was kind of out of the ordinary. Yamato made a great play to track down the ball. This is his first start of the season. He tracks it down kind of Kikuchi style, but then he threw it away at first base. So the runners advanced. So with the runners on second and third and no outs, Lopez hit one to center field and scored two runs. So it's 2-0 already with no outs in the game. I don't know, I just don't get it. I don't get why Fujinami cannot start well. I don't know why he always starts so poorly, but he does. Well, anyways, typical of these Hanshin Tigers this year, other than the errors, is that we tend to fight back. We tend to come back strong a lot of times when we get scored against early or even when we get scored against in the middle of games. And so the very next inning, top of the second inning, back-to-back doubles. The second of those got Haraguchi in on a Toritani hit. And then Toritani advanced to third base on a wild pitch, and Hojo brought him in on a sacrifice fly. So tie game after the top of the second, and this one stayed tied all the way until the ninth inning, when with runners on first and second and no outs, Fukudome ripped one down the right field line. It was a single, but it ended up scoring one run, so now it is 3-2 for us. And Itohara, again, I don't know, this kid, he's just not phased. He doesn't have an amazing batting average, but it seems like when it comes down to needing that run or needing that hit, he seems to be all right, or even needing the walk. Well, he hit one to center, scored us another run, so 4-2. Base is still loaded. We could not get any more, but we did not need any more. We ended this one 4-2, and so it was a two-game series again. This one, because of rain, we took both. That's awesome. Fujinami, I feel like, again, he's getting kind of lucky because he walked four guys and he hit another batsman. So seven innings pitched and he gave up five free passes and still only ended up giving up one earned run, two runs total, of course. So I just feel like things are going to catch up to him. By the way, if you check the website now under the under the player profiles, I've got the 2017 season stats. And so every week I'm updating the stats. And so you can see how guys are doing as the season goes on. Instead of waiting till the end of the year to see who's got the most home runs or whatever, you can check, you know, week by week. And so you'll see in the pitching stats, I've added another column, and this is my own calculation, so they may not be perfect, but I've added FIP, which is Field Independent Pitching. And if you look at it, basically Field Independent Pitching is a better gauge of how well a pitcher is doing, or how lucky or how unlucky he's been. And if your FIP is higher than your ERA, it means that you're probably getting a little bit lucky. And if your FIP is lower than your ERA, it means that you've probably been unlucky and that you can expect the ERA to crawl down a little bit further. You know, those are just things, you know, it's not scientific, but it is certainly going to give you a gauge of how pitchers are doing. And the only pitcher whose numbers are completely off, I mean, like the FIP and the ERA are not even close to each other, is Fujinami. And, you know, it shouldn't really come as a huge surprise, given, you know, how he has a penchant for walks, and this stat really, it punishes walks and it punishes home runs against. Fujinami had three home runs against earlier in the season. And so if you look at his ERA is 1.67 and his FIP is 5.52, which to me indicates that he's getting extremely lucky. You know, not a lot of other guys have got ugly numbers when it comes to that stuff. So you can expect a lot of our guys to keep their ERA roughly the same. I mean, as long as they don't break down. But Fujinami only, I'm a little bit worried about him, guys. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up the low ERA through the season. Mind you, he also is just one of those pitchers, kind of like Aoyagi. Poor control, but also very hard to hit. So there you have it. Let's move on to Player of the Week. And for this one, I've got a couple candidates. The first one is Kosuke Fukudome, who went 5-for-17 on the week. He hit two home runs, which is more than anyone else on the team this week. He also had two game-winning RBIs in a week where we won three games, so that's pretty impressive. But I'm going to give it to my favorite, but actually, you know what? I really do respect the man, and that is Takashi Toritani. Including this week, he has now hit RBIs in 6 straight games, which is pretty impressive. He was pretty unclutch, I felt, at the start of the year, but he's getting better. So he's got 6 straight games with an RBI. He hit a home run, his first one of the season. That was on Friday. He also had several doubles. He did get caught stealing twice on Sunday, and that's kind of a blemish, but one of them he jumped a little bit too early and got caught. The other one, from the sounds of things, it was a failed hit and run. And so he didn't get the best of jumps, but the player at the plate did not also make connection with the ball. And so that's kind of too bad. But he went 5 for 11 on the week with 5 RBI and 5 walks. So very standard Torii-esque walk totals there. And now, yeah, with runners in scoring position, he's batting .333 on the season, which is good for second best on the team behind Itoi, who's hitting .452. Anyways, that's my player of the week. What have you got? Who have you got? I'd love to know.
Huh? What? Oh, what's this wacky tomoaki? Huh? What? What's this wacky tomoaki?
Yeah, you know, I might be kind of forcing myself to have this segment of the show, but I still want to do it just for fun, and that is wacky tomoaki, and I am going to pick apart just a little thing, and that is that he had kind of a wacky lineup on Sunday, and this is how it went. He had Nakatani batting leadoff, followed by Yamato batting second, and then 3-4-5 was standard, Itoi, Fukudome, Haraguchi, and then 6 and 7 was Toritani and Hojo. Now, what I think personally is that he should have Toritani in leadoff, should have had Toritani in leadoff and Hojo in second, and then have Nakatani 6th and Yamato in 7th. I mean, Yamato is not a great hitter by any means, certainly not a power hitter. And putting him in second almost implies that we're going to be bunting whenever the chance presents itself. Now, the result was that, Nakatani, I think, got a couple of hits. Got on base a couple times. Yamato got a couple of hits. And so, all's well that ends well. Toritani got an RBI in the spot that he was hitting in. But, you know, Toritani's got great on-base percentage. He's also got decent legs. And so I think that he's more suited to lead off than Nakatani. And then, yeah, Yamato, I just think lower down in the order. But I did also read a report that Kanemoto said, the reason he didn't want Yamato batting 7th is because that put the bottom of the order in a pretty tough position because, pretty weak hitters all at the bottom lined up. It's not a good thing. So that's why he wanted Hojo down there. So I can respect that, but I still think that was just a little bit wacky, Mr. Tomoaki. For a new corner, we're still going to, use the Hot Topics juice, the music here, but we are going to do a little bit of a read through an article in the monthly Hanshin Tigers magazine. And I don't know how well I'm going to be able to translate this because I'm doing it on the fly. I've read the article several times, but I just thought it was really interesting, and I thought maybe all of you might want to benefit from my Japanese abilities, my translating abilities, and also, just being able to get some information on the Hanshin Tigers. So, this is an article from the May 2017 edition, and it is called Ura Tora Soul. So it's kind of a play on Ultra Soul, which was a kind of famous song and just, stuff like that. But it's also a play on the kanji. Anyhow, it's looking at all the people in the, in the background that play a part in the Hanshin Tigers. And in this case, they asked bullpen catcher Yuki Suzue some questions. Now, this is what it says. They're mostly, these bullpen catchers receive, they take pitches from the bullpen pitchers. They don't often take the pitch. They don't often do pitching practice with the starters, but sometimes they do. Anyways, this guy, Yuki Suzue, started with a Hiroshima Carp. He played professional ball for 11 years. And then after that, he was a bullpen catcher for them. And he's been with Hanshin now as a bullpen catcher since 2009. So this is his 9th year with the season. And the Tigers have 4 bullpen catchers. During the regular season, 2 of them are with the top squad and 2 of them are on the farm, taking bullpen with the pitchers. So Suzue, he is on the top squad, and this is what they say. Now, the impression that you might have is that bullpen catchers, they catch a lot of balls. They receive a lot of pitches throughout the day. But in fact, that may not necessarily be true. Depending on which pitchers need practice, sometimes the starter is going to give you about 40 pitches when he's warming up before the game. And sometimes that'll be the catcher, and sometimes it'll be one of the bullpen guys. But in this case, Suzue said that it's not him, it's the other guy. The other guy that's up on the top, and that is Mr. Katayama. During the game, he says, you know, of course, if the pitcher's doing well and if they're, you know, heading towards a complete game or complete game shutout, sometimes they don't take any pitches as bullpen catchers. So they don't have a whole lot to do in that case. But of course, as the starting pitcher's pitch count gets up there, that's when the bullpen starts to get a little bit more active. The busiest time of year for bullpen catchers, of course, would be spring training. Now, during spring training, there's times that there's exhibition games going on, but the other pitchers still want to get in a bit of a workout. You know, they want to do some practice. And, you know, there's only so many catchers that go around, and the actual Hanshin catchers are going to be at the exhibition game. So that's when the bullpen catchers get really busy. So he said sometimes they, you know, they catch 200 to 300 balls per day. So you can imagine how hard of work that is. It's a lot of crouching. It's a lot of catching balls, stuff like that. Now, interesting, this Suzue fellow says that, you know, no matter how many pitches he catches, he always remembers that for that particular pitcher, it may be the first pitch of his day, you know, of his bullpen session. And so he wants to make sure that he's always treating every pitch as equally important, that he's not just there to do a job, but he's there to make the pitchers feel good and to get ready for game action. So he says the most important thing, you know, when you are a bullpen catcher, is you need to also pay attention to your technique. So he says, you know, as much as possible, he doesn't just catch the ball. He wants to make sure that he frames it well so that the pitcher, when he's throwing his bullpen, gets an idea of whether or not his pitch could be called a strike or not. He talks to the pitchers beforehand and asks them, like, do you want me to move my body into the position so that, you know, you've got, you know, a target to throw at, or do you want me to just move the glove? You know, he makes sure that as much as possible, he follows the pitcher's lead and that he does things the way the pitcher wants things done. He also says that every season he goes through 2 to 3 gloves. And this is kind of an interesting thing that he says that he wants to make sure the most important thing for him when it comes to a catching glove is that the glove makes a good sound when the ball comes in, when he catches the ball. And he said, you know, he has 2 to 3 gloves made. Sometimes the glove, even though it's made by the same maker, even though it's the same brand, each glove might have a different sound, or one might make good sounds when you catch and one might not. He also said as the season goes on, that glove tends to wear out and the sound that it makes, that popping sound, tends to get a little bit smaller or a little bit quieter, and so he'll switch gloves at that point. He talks about how the bullpens differ. So when he was with Hiroshima, he said it was a really tight atmosphere. And I mean, it depends on where the bullpen is, you know, whether it's visible to fans or not. And so he said it was a little bit more tense there, but he said in a good way, it's a little bit more relaxed with Hanshin. So that was kind of cool to hear. He also said that Kyuji Fujikawa is one of the guys that told him, you know, like a pitcher, especially a relief pitcher, when he goes out to the mound, he's nervous enough. So as much as possible, it's good to make the bullpen a more relaxing atmosphere for him, for the pitchers, that is. And so, you know, the bullpen catchers try to follow along with that. And one example of that is that, you know, with the Dominican pitchers, he says, you know, they're always kind of upbeat and, you know, pretty excited just to be there, and they've got a lot of energy. And so he says he tries to bring the energy along with them. So that's just kind of a cool thing that he was talking about there. So he says, you know, he's been catching for over 20 years now, including his pro career and you know, being a bullpen catcher. Obviously, you know, he goes through his share of injuries. Some of the injuries that he goes through, of course, you know, the hand gets a little bit sore, stuff like that. And so he does a lot of taping. But he also said the hardest time of year is, again, spring training. But even just after spring training, when they start their exhibition schedule up in mainland Japan after they've left Okinawa, and he said it's still cold. And if you're doing a lot of bullpen sessions, he said your hands get really cold, you start to lose feeling, you start to get a lot of cracking in your skin and stuff like that. And he said it's really painful. The other injuries, of course, back injuries, and that's, you know, we hear about that a lot from catchers. But the other one is neck injuries, and I hadn't thought about this until I read the article, but he says, you know, when you take a foul tip off of the mask,
you know, the shock that your neck has to absorb is just crazy. So he said, you know, like that'll end up being an injury that maybe ends up lingering on. Finally, you know, he says that he is just so glad that he is able to wear the uniform of the team and that he's able to, you know, be a part of the team winning. He said the best feeling as a bullpen catcher is when the pitcher that he has been receiving pitches from during the bullpen session ends up going out on the mound and doing a good job and having a good outing there. It's great to be a part of the victory. And even if he doesn't get the accolades that he deserves, he still wants to be the guy that helps this team to have the reputation as being a strong pitching team. So there you have it. That's just one summary of an article that I read in the monthly Hanshin Tigers magazine. If you go back on the website and you find the article where I basically made an English table of contents for the magazine, if there's another article that you'd like to hear me translate, I'd love to do that on future episodes if we don't have an actual hot topic. I'm planning on doing this throughout the season as long as there's demand for it and as long as I find articles that are interesting. So hit me up, send me an email, let me know. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 Predictions.
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 Predictions.
Yes, we are going to predict the week that comes, and we are playing three games at Koshien Stadium against the Chunichi Dragons. The only team that we don't have a winning record against this year. We're 3-3 against them. But we are 2-1 against them at Koshien, and we're playing at Koshien. So here's a chance for us to improve our record against them. It sounds like, or it's possible, that we will be bringing Akiyama to the mound on Tuesday. And then I'm not really sure because Nomi missed his start on Sunday because of the rainout on Saturday. And I don't know if they're going to try and plug him back in on Sundays and just shift everybody up one, or if they're going to plug him into this matchup. But I'm guessing Akiyama, Iwasada, Nomi. And then they're going to bring some guy named Shota Suzuki, whom I've not heard of. I think he was a first-round draft pick several years ago. And then they've got a question mark because they have a pitcher named Ogasawara, who was sent down to the farm. And he had pitched last week Wednesday, so we don't know who they might bring there. It might be Junki Ito, who got the best of us last year. It might be somebody else. I also heard just today that there's another pitcher there. I think their first-round pick this past year, who went 8 innings of one-hit ball, but I think that was today, so he probably won't be ready to pitch on Wednesday. Anyways, who knows who they're going to bring. And then maybe Raul Valdez, whom we've already faced a couple times this year, on Thursday. Well, again, I'm going to say 2-1. I would love to make this a 3-0, and the way Hanshin's playing, it very well could be, but I'm going to go a bit conservative, so say 2 wins and 1 loss. And then we go 3 games in Tokyo against the Yakult Swallows at Jingu Park. And if we keep things the same as we've had them, it'll be Messenger on Friday. And then I'm thinking, this is just my thoughts, you know, Saturday tends to be the day that we bring a weaker pitcher, or, you know, we tend to put the weaker pitchers in game two of the 3-game series as opposed to game three. And so I'm thinking in that slot, we'll either get Shimamoto or we might get Aoyagi or Yokoyama or, you know, somebody there. And then Fujinami on Sunday to end off the week. And I don't know what they're going to be doing, but because they had a bit of an irregular schedule last week, but the Swallows might bring Ishikawa Masanori. We had a good time against him last time. We might face Yasuhiro Ogawa for the first time this year, and he's having a great season. And then also their, I think, rookie, Hoshi. He pitched, I believe, last Sunday. And then David Buchanan, whom we faced a couple times with not a lot of great success, he is probably going to pitch this Tuesday, and they might push forward his start for Sunday. I'm not really sure. But again, I'm going to go with 2-1 again. I know it's pretty predictable and pretty easy to just give out the canned answers, but we've got some great pitchers going. We've got some good bats going on, and it's Jingu, and guys like Takayama love hitting there, Fukudome loves hitting there, and hopefully some of our other guys can come to life. So that's my call. What do you say? I'd be interested to know. All right, well, if you're going to be going to any Hanshin Tigers games, as I have mentioned in the past, I would love to be able to get a few pictures from you to use on the website for the series recaps. We've had a few people contribute, and it's been much appreciated. I had William Brooks from Kakehashi Sports contribute. I had Scott Nobuhara this past week contribute. I will be at the game on Tuesday, that being tomorrow, May the 16th. So if you're going to be there, hit me up, let me know. Maybe we can meet up before the game, after the game, something like that. But yeah, if you're going to be at any other game or even the Tuesday game, and if you want to take pictures and help me out a little bit for the site, or if you're in Tokyo and you're going to be at Jingu, let me know. I would love to have some pictures up on the website taken by you, the fans. So the Hanshin Tigers at gmail.com is the way to reach me. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You guys are the best fans in the world. And you've heard it from Messenger, you've heard it from Merton, you've heard it from all sorts of people in Hero interviews. You can find H10's podcast and extra news, articles, and more at the website www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and hopefully this time around we're not going to have problems with the feed going through on iTunes like we did last week. Anyways, search for it on iTunes or on Stitcher, Hanshin Tigers English News. Links to those two feeders will also be in the show notes, so you can click on those links as well. So please subscribe, please write a review. It'd be great to get more reviews out there so that more people know what the show's about. It may move me up in the rankings as far as sports podcasts go, so that would be great. Please follow us on Facebook as well. You know, we've got the Facebook page, and I put a lot of stuff up there that doesn't get on the website. So feel free to go there. Go to Facebook and, again, search Hanshin Tigers English News. We are there. And also follow T-Ray on Twitter if you have not already done so. I always tweet at random times, and I tweet random stuff about the Tigers. I'm almost 100% Hanshin Tigers on Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger. Until next time, keep cheering until your mom pays attention to all that you're doing, and the Hanshin Tigers keep on winning, and your mom sees you on TV cheering like crazy for the 2017 pennant winners. Woohoo! See you next week, everyone. Hanshin Tigers.
Tigers, it's your